I'm still in Florida.
Matt said he's going to get up and leave now.
Well, if it'll make you feel better, this time next week I'll be in Weehawken. So,
yeah, that's okay then.
Yeah, yeah, it's they had ice here on Friday, and you'd think the world was ending. They're not used to it.
Yeah.
It's okay now. It's looking out at the ocean. It's a little overcast. The waves are hitting up on the beach, so I'm good. I'm blessed.
So you should be pretty inspired this morning.
I am inspired, Mike. But thanks for putting the pressure on. Let me go back and just look for a second at last week. I really like the work that y'all did last week. I feel it really starting to take hold in your thought process. We started our conversation last week around the 30% increase in your practice. I had done the math, and the math told me that the increase was driven by existing clients, not the approximate $3 million worth of net new money. And, folks, this is almost always the case when we talk about Supernova, when we go through the first few weeks of Supernova. We talk about the biggest bump in your practice is going to come from your existing clients. I want to take something else, add something else to that Mike said. And we were discussing the time it would take to launch 10 people. And in that conversation, Mike said it wasn't the time those people take. It was the after calls. And the quote that I wrote down, I can't pick up the phone and not create more work, FGA, banking, mortgages, insurance reviews, et cetera. You remember that part of the conversation, Mike?
Yeah. Yep.
But going back to the growth in the practice, those are the things that drove the huge increase in your practice. So here's the question, Mike. Did the client bring up those, say they wanted to talk to you about refinancing, did they bring up FGAs, did they bring up all the things that you said took time, or did you bring those up?
I'm the guilty party.
No. That's a yes or no, that's not, there's no guilt there at all. So if you were that busy, why did you bring those things up?
He's a glutton for punishment.
I don't know. That's what exactly why.
Yes, it is. It's obvious why you brought it up. Why did you bring them up?
I don't know.
Because the need was
clients needed it.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Right.
You know there is more to what you do, and more to your brand, and frankly more to your revenue line when you do more things for a client. But it's all driven by the right thing to do. So before we get following up on this week's homework, if you would, I ask you all to have that PDF of the workbook in front of you. If anybody has that, turn to page 110, if you would, and somebody sing out when you've got it in front of you.
I have it.
All right. It should say Supernova planning document, right, Mike?
111 says that, or 109 says that. 109 or
110 is the second page of it.
Okay. Well, it's the one that starts with Supernova planning document.
Yeah, 109.
Now, as you look through that, and I'd ask everybody to just give it a cursory glance, can you think about, Mike and Matt, if you had this in your blue folder and you were using that as a roadmap to make sure that you had touched the clients in all the ways that you all have the ability to do that. Do you see how that would, Mike, would help you stay on track, making sure that you do everything that you need to do for a client?
Right. Yeah, right.
I'm going to hit everything, but it's going to hit a lot of things. And I'm not suggesting this is the exact template you have to use, but if you thought about all the ways to touch a client, eliminated the things that don't, for example, you've got clients for whom educational planning isn't a big deal, but some grandparents, I'm paying for the school for some of my grandchildren, so educational, I still have educational goals, even though my kids are all above 30.
Right.
So all I'm saying here, the point I'm trying to make is that you brought those things up because it was the right thing to do. That's who you are. That is your practice. You're not just a money manager. When you know that you're getting everything covered, then you can kind of talk about it in a simplified method. For example, if this month you wanted to talk to everybody about mortgages, can you see how that would be more efficient, Mike, than talking to somebody about a mortgage in January and somebody in April? It's the old thing you and I learned years ago, the batch processing. You with me?
Yeah. It's right now the process is more ad hoc in terms of those kinds of discussions, although there's a little bit of uniformity, but it is not as, I see what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, it's just when you've got all that in front of you, it's in your blue folder, you're looking at that on a regular basis, you just have a better chance of making it a more efficient process. All right, let's go to all this stuff fits together. Let's talk about the homework for last week. And there was a lot of homework. Number one, I asked for each Mike and Matt to identify, not call, but identify 10 people who could get scheduled. I also asked you to put together a script for those 10 people, 10 people each, and then I asked you to have a script for people who are going to the advice center and might call and say, you know, why is this happening or whatever. So let me start with you, Matt. Tell me how you did with the 10 people. I know you said last week you could do it quickly, but did you identify the 10 people you could start with?
I did.
All right. Any commonalities among those people? Young, old, longtime clients, a niche they came from, how they came to your practice? Did you see anything that was common among those 10 people?
I like to talk to them. I mean, from that standpoint, Rob, they're all near the top of the book. They all have meaningful assets. They all listen. They're all good clients from that standpoint. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't have a problem talking to them on a monthly basis.
Okay, good clients, you enjoy them. You had one other thing. You said you wouldn't mind, you'd like talking to those people on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, meaningful assets. I mean, they're near the top of, you know, the book. But, you know, there's some retirees, there's some that are still working, there's some that are business owners. I mean, it's there's no commonality from that standpoint.
Okay, out of those 10, and I'm asking this because for a little different reason than you're thinking, what do you see any common, I heard you say retirees, you said some business owners, is there more than one business owner in there?
Not necessarily, actually.
All right. Well, is there more than one retiree?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have more retirees than any other single category?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Who is the most recent And Mike, I'm going to ask you the same questions in a second. Who's the most recent person to the practice in there?
Of our list?
Of Matt's 10, who is the most recent person to come into the practice?
I don't know. I haven't seen his 10. Where's your 10?
I would say you want a name, Rob?
Just give me your first name so everybody on the call knows who you are.
Seth is the newest.
Okay. How long have they been in the practice?
Since probably 2009.
And how did they come into the practice? Referral?
Referral.
Okay. Do you remember who referred them?
Yes, I do. Our old branch manager actually referred him to me.
Okay. All right. Now, let's go back to what the first thing I heard you say when I asked you the commonalities. I think the first thing that you said was you liked these people. That was before revenues. It was before anything else. I these aren't your words, but what I heard you say is I enjoy these people. All right?
Correct.
Okay. When's the last time that you got a referral from one of those 10 people?
Hasn't happened.
Okay, they may have, but you just can't remember it.
You're talking Matt's 10 or my 10, or does it matter?
Oh, we're talking about Matt's 10. We're going to get to yours in just a second.
All right.
On a regular basis, Rob.
Okay. Now here's what I want you to hear. Here's what I want you to hear from what you gave me, Matt. The people most likely to give referrals are happy clients who like you. You have a good relationship. Does that list look like it meets those requirements? They're happy. They like you. There's trust. Is that list made up of people like that?
Yep.
All right, now here's the question, and it's a setup question. Then why haven't you had referral conversations with those people?
I probably have had a couple of conversations with a couple of them, but it's never – I don't have a good answer, Rob.
Well, yeah, you're busy. I'll give you you're not – and reading the Wall Street Journal till 10, going to lunch at 11:30 to 1, coming back and going home. You're busy all day, correct?
Correct.
The answer is, most cases with practices like yours, successful practices with a lot going on, you're just so busy being reactive that you aren't taking the time to think through the process. Can you accept that?
Yep.
No guilt. No guilt. It's just you're busy. So, again, what I want you to hear is that the list of 10 people who you like, trust, could go. There's lots of places they could go away from your firm to do business if they wanted to. They've chosen to stay. These are the people most likely to be the right people to get into a referral conversation with. Now, Mike, you ought to do better because you've had a chance to learn here on the questions with Matt. You ready?
Roger.
Okay. Any commonality? Old, young, long-time clients? They all in a niche? What are the commonalities that you see?
The commonalities are business owners, doctors, or retired. Retired widows, I guess. So, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, doctors, business owners, and retirees, and a couple of widows.
Would you characterize these people the way Matt did, people that you enjoy, people who trust you, people who like you? Same general comments?
Correct. Uh-huh.
All right. The last person on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Last person who came into your practice.
Yeah.
Who? What's the first name of that person?
Perry.
Okay, and how did they come? When did they come into your practice, approximately?
Probably a year or two ago.
And how did they get into your practice?
The referral.
All right. Do you remember who that referral was from?
Another guy on my list here.
All right. Do you remember that conversation, Mike? How that got started, or was it unsolicited?
It was unsolicited.
Okay.
Yeah.
All counts the same. So are these your 10 highest revenue clients?
Close. I guess I didn't look at that, but they're in the top 50 for sure.
Okay. So these people have been with you. You got one person there who's fairly recent. So those folks, a lot of that list has been with you for a long time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many doctors do you have on that list of top 10?
Well, some are retired now, but 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow, four, okay. So four of your favorite clients are doctors.
Yeah, we have a lot of doctors.
Okay, on that list of four, have any of them given you a referral recently, or is that the person who referred the most recent person into your...
I'm sorry, say again.
Have any of those four doctors...
No.
...given you a referral?
No.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question. When's the last time you had a referral conversation with those doctors?
I haven't.
Okay, because probably the same reason that I suggested to Matt, you're just awfully darn busy. Okay, all right. Now, the reason I mention that is that I ask these questions about the 10 because you're going to pick, most of the time, people are going to pick people they enjoy, people who they can have a conversation with, and people who will probably be receptive to the idea. So they're not necessarily your largest clients. They're usually good clients that you really like. So as you look at that list, and I'll throw in here that I can't do a call next week because I'm going to be in Weehawken. Mike, can you get these people scheduled between now and when we meet in 2 weeks? Is that a... can you have the conversation with them about the refinements in your practice? Is that something you could get done? I'm asking a question. I'm not leading a witness here. Could you get that done over the next 2 weeks?
I believe we could, yes.
Talking about those 10 and you, can you get those 10 people, can you have those conversations with those 10 people about the refinements in your practice?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Matt, same question.
Yes.
All right. The folks, the only reason that I can see, and that I could be missing something, the only reason I could see for those calls, for anybody being uncomfortable with those calls, is you don't feel like you're going to be able to deliver on your promise. Remember, Matt, we talked about that last week. It's hard to have a conversation if you don't think you can deliver, right?
Correct.
All right. I'm asking you to schedule 10 each. Matt, you can get it done in the next 2 weeks. Mike thinks he can get it done in the next 2 weeks. Is there anything out there, Matt, that you see that would keep you from getting it done? Vacation, anything, a trip, whatever, anything going to take you out of the office for an extended period of time?
In the next 2 weeks, no.
Okay. Mike, same question to you.
I'm going to be sick, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
No.
I'm feeling the pink eye come on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, close that eye, get a patch, and get on the phone. Okay.
We can, yeah. No, there's...
Yeah. We got 10 business days. I'm asking you to get 10 people's schedule.
Okay.
I don't think it's an onerous task to get done, and I know you can. You can get to these people that you will schedule them.
It was on our game board last year at this time, so now we just got to get it done.
Yeah, you do. I'm not talking to you about anything you haven't heard before. All right, now let's talk about you. One of the things was a script for these 10 people. Matt, do you have your script or bullet points, whatever, so you can have these conversations efficiently with people?
I don't know if I have it done to where I feel like I can make my phone calls right now today, Rob. Just being honest.
Yep.
But, I mean, I get it, and I understand what we're doing, and I understand that over the last handful of years, the workload that we're being asked to do is more holistic in nature and taking more time. And so we're significantly reducing the size of our practice. I mean, I get it, and so it's just probably getting it into my own words.
And the way that works for me, Matt, is to write down the bullet points and make sure I cover the things that are most important. I'd refer you, too, back to the notes from last week's call where I asked Mike the question, if you were going to have the conversation with your best friend, somebody you totally trust, about why you're reducing the size of your practice. And Mike gave some wonderful bullet points around how he would describe that. So, Matt, if you will get those bullet points or your script, once you have two or three of those calls, the next seven or eight will go a lot more smoothly. All right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, are you prepared? Do you have your script for how you want to roll this out with your best client, with these 10 clients?
It's a little rough. I just wrote down, I haven't practiced this, but I was just an extension of what of the letting go script, really. And it went, let's see if I got it here. Where did it go? Hold on a second. I got too many scripts going on. Okay, so from time to time, we take some time to reflect on the practice and look at ways to improve our service. So as part of that, we hired an outside industry consultant to review our procedures and protocol and such, and as a result of that, we're making some refinements to the practice that will benefit you substantially by a couple of things. One, we're over time looking to substantially reduce the size of our practice and the number of clients we serve, and establishing a higher minimum for new business that we accept. And our feeling is by controlling the size of the practice, we can maintain a superior level of communication with you, and then also provide some capacity to service more people like you. We're adopting a supernova service matrix, which it consists of 12 monthly contacts with you, scheduled contacts, four quarterly reviews, two of them face-to-face, rapid response to problems and issues, and a 24-hour resolution as our standard. So, again, we're just trying to be more proactive and with a more planning-driven practice, create more structure around our communication and service to you. And in conjunction with that, we'd like to get you set up with a monthly call and then go through, finding a time to set that up.
Lots of good stuff. Let me offer some suggestions.
Okay.
I would not use the term you are continuing to reduce the size of your practice, because what could some clients make up from that?
Okay.
They're next. The way I would phrase that, Mike, is we have significantly reduced the number of people in our practice.
Okay.
Now, we all know on this call that you're going to continue to do that, but that's making the point that you've already significantly reduced the size of the practice. I would not use the supernova word. That means something to everybody on this call. No, your clients don't know what that is.
Okay.
I call it your service model.
Okay.
Carl Wealth Management Service Model, whatever. But I would leave out supernova. And then instead of proactive, that sounds to me as though you haven't been in the past, and we're not trying to point out that you don't think are working perfectly, but I would probably phrase that, we've done that so that we have more time to spend with people like you.
Okay.
Again, you had all the right thought process. I would encourage you to get it a little bit smoother. Now, let me ask the question. When can you start scheduling the calls for these 20 people? Have you thought about that, Mike? When are the actual calls going to begin?
March 1.
I don't know. I'm that seems that makes sense to me. It would give you the time to have those calls, get them scheduled, and then actually begin the calls.
Okay.
In March. So does that sound like what you're going to do?
I think that seems reasonable. Yeah.
So the way that I would finish this call with these 10 clients that each of you have identified is somebody from our team will be back with you in the next 2 weeks to set up the time that works best for you. I don't want you fumbling through what time works for you. The client, you know, probably hadn't had time to think about it. We'll be calling you back in the next 2 weeks to set up a time that's best for you. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Matt, are you okay with that?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Have you thought, Mike, about, and we had this conversation a little bit with Lori last week, when do you want to get scheduled? If you've got 10 calls, if you've got 10 people that you're scheduling, that's 10 hours a month. What do you want to schedule? 10 is do you want them all scheduled on one day of the week? Do you want to do as many as you can in one day, leaving other times free? What do you want your schedule to look like?
Well, we had that's a good question, Rob. Now it came up last week that, you know, I've been scheduling the annual reviews and the semi-annual reviews basically just twice a day on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I leave Monday open for kind of branch stuff and catch up, and Friday's my buffer day. And I sometimes book on a Friday for a top 50 account if there's no other option. But in order to make this work, I don't know why I couldn't schedule them on those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They'd have to be at a different time slot, so maybe at 9 or something, or 1 or 1:30 or 4.
Well, let's think about this. If you had 100, Mike, that 5 calls a day, that's 25 a week. So we're starting with 1/10 of that, so you'll have 3 scheduled calls a week to begin with.
Okay.
Now, you can say to Laurie, I want to schedule these people all on Tuesday. Or you could say, I don't care where you schedule them as long as it's not Monday and Friday. But you don't want Laurie to schedule and then you have to go back and because you haven't been thoughtful about your scheduling, have to go back and change those. So
okay.
Even though you're only going to schedule 10 right now, you want her to be scheduling around the days that you want to be scheduled.
Okay.
With me?
Yeah.
So if you, just to think ahead, let's say that you want to have all your scheduling on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and the maximum we think somebody can do and do it well is 5 a day, that's 15 a week. I'm getting ahead of myself. Even though you're only scheduling 3 days a week, you've got to make sure those are the right 3 days, because Lori's going to start bolting people onto that once you get your arms around this. So 20 a week means you can have 100 clients. So 15 a week means you can have 75 ultimately. You got the math?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to worry about that now. We're going to worry about it then.
Okay.
So, and here's what I want you to hear, and don't think this is my goal, but if all you did in this process is get your top 60 clients, and Matt got his top 60 clients on 12-4-2, this would be a big success. It'd be a success. And the reason I point that out is I don't want that creeping back in your mind, well, I'm going to do 10 now, but I might not be able to live up to that. Yes, you can. We're not going to schedule more than you all can deliver. All right?
Okay.
Matt, you good?
I'm very good.
All right. Okay. So the number one homework aside, as I start to put the homework down here, the number one piece of homework is for Matt and Mike to have the calls with their top, we got their top, the 10 clients they've identified. The next thing is that you all have to, even before you do that, you have to have gotten your scripts put together. The next thing, Matt, how do you want to get scheduled initially? What do you think your ideal schedule is going to look like?
My ideal, I'm thinking I'd like to work Tuesday. No. I honestly don't really care. So, I'm not overly picky. If I could prefer, you know, not Monday morning and not Friday afternoon, but I'll
tell
you, it doesn't matter, I guess. And maybe not scheduled before, maybe the first call starting like at 9 o'clock or something. That just gives me a little bit of time in the morning to get settled.
Okay, that all makes sense, and I would say to you, most clients would probably rather talk on Monday morning than Friday at 3 o'clock too. So, you know, you're applying common sense. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Lori, what do you hear clarity here, or do you need to ask questions of me or Mike or Matt?
We will have to sit down and meet, obviously, and get some clarity, Mike and I mostly need to look at his schedule and see where that's going to fit in. I don't worry about Matt, because Matt's in and out of his reviews in an hour, maybe hour and 15. Mike's reviews take a little bit more time, so we're kind of dealing with that. I don't want to back him up and make him be late for things. So Mike and I will have to sit down and find some good time.
Laura, do you see that you can't do your job until Mike gives you clarity around what he wants his schedule to look like?
That's correct.
Okay. Mike, you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. I know you do. I know you do. And I really hope this doesn't sound like first grade. But if you get these small steps, then the others are going to come right along. Now, let's go to the next part of the homework, and that's the script for people who are going to be segmented out going forward. Any work done on what you want, what you're going to say when people call and want to know about the letter they received?
Well,
That we did. Well,
we did that, but we, I guess, okay, the letter they received from the Wealth Advice Center, you mean? Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Can you read it to me?
Yep. From time to time, the team takes a moment to step back and evaluate our practice and service we are providing to our clients. Recently, we have found that because of the complex nature of clients' needs, we have spent more time providing a customized, comprehensive approach to address those needs. Because of this, we found that we are not providing the service that we want you to have. So we've decided to partner with our Wealth Advice Center. It's a specialized team of highly trained advisors that on average has 7 years of experience. They are able to make outgoing service calls, make recommendations on your portfolio, and are highly qualified to help Mike and myself service your account. We have seen firsthand the service they provide to our clients and have the utmost confidence in them. Your dedicated contact will be reaching out to you shortly, but in the meantime, if you need to talk to someone regarding your account, you can call 877-827-7870 and ask for Jennifer Dixon.
Okay, and who is that person?
Jennifer, after our call on Monday, I called over to the Wealth Advice Center and got a pretty deep dive on the process and when things happen and how they happen. And this Jennifer is one of the incoming migration specialists or initial migration specialists. And she's an advisor there. And so I talked to her for maybe a half an hour, and she said that I could give her name out to our clients that we're moving over. So we have a dedicated contact. She may not work with them once it's all settled, but at least we have a point of reference there.
Okay, so Matt, it makes sense to me that when you do your next round of segmentation, at the same time you submit those people off the computer, that an email goes out to that lady so she knows about the call she could be getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that to me is just part of the process. All right. So Verna, when you heard that letter, is that something that you can use or design into your own words that you would be comfortable saying to a client?
Yeah, I think so. Something I probably, again, just take the highlights and put them down on a piece of paper and just make sure I hit them.
Yeah, yeah. And so you tell Matt, and they say, well, I want to talk to Matt. What's your response?
I guess I don't know. Yeah, Matt who?
Here's what I would say. You all put in your words. Matt is on a call right now, and he's fairly well scheduled until 3 o'clock. He could return your call sometime between 3:30 and 4, something like that. But that's not. You don't want. That's there, Verna. If after you try the other, if they still want to talk to Matt or to Mike, you just don't put them on the phone with Matt or Mike immediately. It breaks up their day. They can return the call between 3 and 4 or whatever time you all have decided.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Verna, can you sell this to the clients? Ms. Jones, I know this is a little different. We've spent time, Matt spent time on the phone with the Wealth Advice Center. He's very comfortable that they're going to be able to take care of your needs. I think part of what anybody says who answers the phone, whether it's Verna or Callie or Lori, is you got to have the facts in front of you so you can try to sell it. This was a hard decision for us, Ms. Jones. We thought it was in your best interest. We didn't do this before we checked with the Wealth Advisory Center. You will have a specific FA assigned to you Vernon, do you see what I'm saying? You've got to be able to have the bullet points to sell this, so hopefully they don't ask to speak to Mike or to Matt.
Yep,
you with me?
Yep.
All right. All right. Laurie, are you okay with that?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Callie, you comfortable having that conversation?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So as I go back and look at the homework for today, you all have identified the 10. There are 10 who like you. They're going to like what you say. Where we have taken a step back. On a regular basis, we take a step back and look at our practice. We've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to make some significant refinements to our practice. We're excited about it. This is what it's going to look like. And you go through that. So you identified the people. A little light on the scripts for Mike and for Matt. And the script for clients who may call after they have been sent to the Wealth Advisory Center or are being sent to the Wealth Advisory Center, that script, I think, needs to have a little bit more sales in it, that you're selling the process. Now, Matt, isn't it true that if a client has more than 20 grand, they get a specific FC assigned to them?
If so, the way it works, Rob, if they have more than it's now 15,000, they have more than, they just dropped that this fall from 20 to 15. So if they have more than 15, everyone gets a letter sent out. If they have more than 15,000, then they get an outgoing phone call.
Yep.
If they have more than 50,000 in household assets, then they get a dedicated team. So there's no dedicated person. They try to do away with that in case that one person is gone or off. But there's a dedicated team of 8 to 10 advisors that work with people over 50,000 of household assets.
So they kind of work in a pod?
Yep. Okay. And they said, you know, they'll try to give, you know, if it's over 50, they'll try to have maybe 2 or 3 people on that relationship.
Okay. But do you... Just the way, what you've explained to me would help me field a call if I were Verna. You got to make sure that they have those specific things in front of them so they can sell it. That's going to take a lot of stuff off of you and Mike. All right?
Okay. So you had some bullet points before. What were those again?
Everyone.
Say it again, Mike.
You had some bullet points on that before about what the CSA or Verna or Laurie or somebody or Kelly could say.
Well, all I was doing is I heard what you all wrote, and I got my there are things there that Matt just mentioned that he knows better than I. If people I don't know if I understand what you're asking me.
Well, you said the bullet points are I forgot. Let me write. I wrote it down here.
Are you talking about for your conversations with your clients?
If the Laurie or Callie or Vernon get the conversation, bullet points for them to make. You mentioned some things. I didn't write them down, but I thought maybe you had them on your script or on your. Never mind. Just forget it.
It'll be in the notes. But the thing I think that is important, the biggest thing that they've got to be able to sell it. And I think the next biggest important, the most next thing, and I didn't say this before, is I said it last week, is to make sure you don't say we can't give you the service that you deserve, because people are going to say what you've given me is fine. Mm-hmm. You have to say we cannot give you the service that we want you to have. Big difference. All right? All right, now let's visit a little bit, Mike and Matt, around the conversations with your clients. This is repetition, but it's important. What are you going to say, Matt, if a client says, well, what you're doing now is just fine, Matt?
if a client that is on the 10, Rob, or the
10? Yeah, no. We're back to the 10 you've identified. What are you going to say if they say, and you talk about the monthly scheduled calls, and they say, well, Matt, you know, what you're doing now is fine. I don't want to change anything.
So what am I going to say to you mean if they don't want to schedule it then, basically?
Well, here's do you, that's a compliment, Matt, because you've just talked about all the refinements. They're significant refinements. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Client says, well, aren't you doing those things already? And your response is, yes, we are. We're putting some structure into our practice so that we never disappoint you. So when they say, aren't you doing those things already, that's the suggested response. That's a compliment. Thanks for saying that. Our team works really hard to deliver an exceptional level of service. We want to put some structure into your practice, into our practice, so that we never disappoint you. Next step. Matt, I really think what you're doing now is fine. I don't think I want to do the monthly scheduled calls. Now, Matt, usually when people say that, they're not saying they don't want to talk to you. They're afraid they're going to be sitting by their phone when they would rather be playing golf or boating or whatever it is they do. So the suggested response to demonstrate that to your client that this is important is, Ms. Jones, I understand this is a little different. Could you try it for 3 months? And if it still feels like too much, we'll dial it back. Matt, do you see how you're standing your ground?
Mm-hmm.
You're not rolling over and saying, oh, okay. And then the client's going to make up it really wasn't that important to you. Could we try it for 3 months? If it still feels like too much, we'll dial it back. And then the client says, no, I really don't want the monthly scheduled contact. The suggested response is, you're the client. I'll never lose sight of that fact. Could we schedule the quarterly reviews? And almost everybody who's gotten to that part in this process, Matt, is going to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So do you see the progression?
Yeah.
All right, so when Lori calls this client to schedule, Lori is only going to be scheduling for that client quarterly reviews. What you're going to do is you're still going to call them on the off months. It's just not on their calendar. You got it?
Yep.
Now, what's the number one driver of client satisfaction? Proactive FA contact. You're driving monthly contact. Even if they're not there, you have reached out to them. Mike, do you see that progression of clients put up distance?
Right. I mean, yeah, those are the standard responses I ran into on the few times I did try. So
well,
it's good to do.
When they say to you, Mike, well, aren't you doing those things already? You got to understand that's a compliment, and you got to thank them for it. We work really hard to provide that type of guidance. We just never want to disappoint you. I don't want the monthly contact. I don't think I need that. I understand it's different. Could you try it for 3 months, and if it still feels like too much, we'll dial it back. Well, I really don't want that. Well, can we go ahead and I understand you're the client. I always listen to my clients. Could we go ahead and schedule the quarterly reviews? I mean, that's going to cover 99% of the responses that your clients get.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right. Any questions?
No. Okay.
All right. We still got a couple more minutes. Now let's go back to, I want to spend just a second about with acquisition. Not finished with segmentation, but just to plant a seed for you going forward. You're going to be calling, each of you all, Matt and Mike are going to be calling 10 clients who know you, like you, trust you. When is the best time, Matt, to ask for a referral?
When they're happy with you?
That's part of it, but here's our simple reason. There's no wrong answer to this. The best time to ask for a referral is when value is given and value is recognized. It's one thing for you to think you're adding value, but when the client recognizes it, that's the best time to ask for referrals. So as you go through these, making these 10 calls, I would like for you all, the two of you, to identify when somebody recognizes value. Well, Mike, I think that's terrific. We really will look forward to those calls. Or, Mike, you're really, you know, what you're doing now is great. We really appreciate it. Whatever. I want you all in those 10 calls to be watching for recognition of value. Do you understand that part of the exercise, Matt?
Yep.
Because the way, do you all remember from Supernova the first time that the Bill Cake book, the VIPSA process?
You're right, yep.
All right, we're not going to go after that right now, but I want the way that works is, gosh, Mike, this is great. We really look forward to talking to you on a monthly basis. That's recognition of value. Well, thanks for saying that. As you know, we've significantly reduced the number of people in our practice. We've done it for a couple of reasons. One is we don't want the growth of our practice to hamper the service that we offer to our existing clients. And frankly, we always want to have capacity in our practice for people like you. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of guidance? Do you remember that, Mike?
Right. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Now, again, we're not to that point yet, but I want you to be thinking about it as you make these calls. One of the questions I'll ask you in 2 weeks is how many of the 10 people gave you indication that you added value. All right?
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No. I think, you know, a good example, though, just as a tag on, though, I did get a referral from one of my names on this 10 list here, but it turned out to be a fairly substantial business owner, about $14 million in net worth, but not a lot of investable assets, maybe $1.5 million or so, with a relative of the family. But needed some planning work done, so I set up a plan, basically a fee-based plan for them. But, you know, again, it's the same problem right now that could turn into a relationship later, but right now it's not. So, but now I put myself at risk because it was a referral from a key client, and it started in December, and I'm still working on the project now. So, again, you know, it just goes to capacity. If we're going to ask them for referrals, you know, again, to be able to service them. So we're on the right track because that's a problem is when it is getting the follow-through on that referral. Just it's a little – because it's a planning-driven referral, it just takes more time and more labor-intensive. So,
yep. Yep.
Anyway.
Okay. I heard everything you said. What is the what's the reason that you told me that great story?
Great story? Why did I tell you that? To confirm we're on the right track.
Say it again?
To confirm we're on the right track.
Yeah. Here's that. You know, one of the questions I asked last week was, what would it do for the practice if Mike could say he went through the reduced size practice, ensure contact, so I have room for more people like you. What would it do for the practice if Mike could say that on a regular basis? Well, that's kind of the story here. And the big part of what I heard there is that it confirms that people like you. That's why they're there. There is so much opportunity for you all to significantly grow your practice. And the next thing I heard, Mike, was now I've got a, you know, it's kind of like you said last week, I've kind of created more work for myself. Right?
Right, right.
What's the solution to that dilemma?
Not asking more?
No, the solution is having fewer clients.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you had, and I just paint a picture, if you had 30 clients, Mike, and that's all, again, not suggesting, just painting the picture, you'd have plenty of time to devote to that planning process, right?
Right.
So the fewer clients you have, the faster you're going to grow your practice with people who look more like your favorite clients. And I know you know that, but when you tell me that story, I think it's a great story. I just wanted to get the rant down to the solution. You grew 30% last year with $3 million in net new money. That's a story about clients loving you, not about net new money. And again, Mike, hear what I said. I want you to be aware of people saying thank you. I'm not telling you to walk down the referral path with them. I just want you to identify it and make that a experience for you.
Good idea.
Yep. I'll send you an updated invitation, and our next call will be 2 weeks from today, and I'll send you all an email with the homework for next time.
If we decide to, Rob, to transfer some accounts internally, you know, we've talked about the Wealth Advice Center, and we've moved some already, I don't know, 60 or so, but we're thinking about maybe moving some internally. And I see there's a script in here for that, too. We'll just maybe just use that script here in the manual. But we might change that a little bit, is all I'm saying.
Well, Mike, that's the easiest way to do it. People, if you got somebody in the office that you trust and will take the accounts, that's an awfully smooth way to transition people out of
may make it easier too for us.
Yep. Yep. But there's some who need to go to the advice center.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you in 2 weeks, folks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Well.